Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome once again to History Dweebs. My name is Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the lipstick killer, a man by the name of William George Ahrens.
Three names.
He had three names. He was the man who was arrested and convicted of these crimes, although we'll talk about this a little bit later on. It was brutal murders that took place in 1944 in Chicago. And it's probably best known as the lipstick murders because he would leave notes, or the killer anyway, would leave notes on the mirrors in the victims' homes asking for the police to catch him. So we're going to get into the story and all of Mr. Ahrens, or the lipstick killers, anyway, dastardly deeds. I'm hesitant to say him because there was some question as to his guilt, but we'll get into that.
Is he dead?
He is.
Well, then it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to, you know, I kind of keep open mind.
We don't want to sully his good name if, in fact, he didn't do it, but we're gonna spend the next 45 minutes sullying his good name.
Yeah.
Well, he did some other stuff, but he had a long history of criminal activity. It's just that they were mostly nonviolent crimes. But anyway, before we get into his dastardly deeds, let me introduce our panel. As you know, I searched far and wide, bring you the very best in entertainment, and to try to develop a panel of high intelligence and personality. And I just couldn't do it. So instead, I'd like to introduce the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Satan's dirty little secret, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I was better till you introduced us.
Well, I did.
It was hurtful.
Well, I mean, I want to make sure I don't set the bar too high.
Well, I think by previous podcasts we've done that.
I think we've set our listeners' expectations at a certain level, and I don't think they expect us to exceed that level at any given
time. Probably not. But you're okay today, Brandy?
Living the dream. Still don't have a lady's maid, but, you know.
Well, have you put up a posting on Craigslist? I know you put up a lot of them on Craigslist. You might as well ask for a lady's maid.
You know what? But you ought to take the lady's maid out of the casual encounters.
Yeah, casual. Try casual. No, maybe you should try casual encounters.
That's where most of her ads go.
I know.
Casual encounters.
Yeah.
Hers goes for W for WM.
Mm-hmm.
Women for women or men.
Women or men. She don't care.
She don't care. Huh. Yeah, she don't care. Whatever.
Which, when you said lipstick murders, I thought we was going to get into lipstick lesbians.
Yeah, no, I know, we won't, but we will sometime. We can talk about that afterwards if you like.
Well, a double expert on that. She played college softball.
You know, when we were talking about, I noticed when we were talking about Evelyn Dick, and, we talked about Dick appealed to his father-in-law, and we had that little, we talked about how Dick you know, we made the little double entendre about Dick, you know, appealing to his father-in-law.
I mean, you do understand that I've just stopped listening now.
And Brandy did say, Dick appeals to me, too, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
She said, Dick appeals to me, I guess.
There
was not a lot of enthusiasm for Dick there.
Well, I see what I think it was. It was all of her. She didn't want to insult her, you know, her softball players, her teammates.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wanted to,
but she
wanted to make sure she's a part of the team.
But she didn't want to come out and be openly anti-Dick.
Yeah, yeah. She's neutral when it comes to Dick, I guess. Anything else to add, Brandy?
No.
Okay. Would you like to introduce our next panel?
Give us your Dick feelings, Devil.
How about if I punch you in the dick and you can give me your Dick feelings?
Well, let me introduce our other panel, the other member of our panel, a man of just high esteem, a man who is known for his generosity, being such a kind-hearted.
Oh, what a crock of shit.
Oh, wait a minute. We don't have
different
him.
Guy.
Yes, different guy.
And we didn't get that guy.
Instead, we have the very honorable. The most dangerous man in podcasting today, Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. And I know, Brandy, you know lots of people who affectionately refer to him as a Southern Gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
So how are you today, Colonel?
Timmy, I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful, Timmy. I'm what would be nice? You know, and you know what would really, I think, add to this podcast?
What would be that? What?
If the devil will quit playing Candy Crush while she was doing it.
I know. She's addicted.
She's an addict. We need to have an intervention, a Candy Crush intervention.
We really do. I mean, Brandy, have you thought about, you know, do you want help?
I don't want help.
You have to really want
help. I don't want help. So I'm good.
She spends all the money on in-app purchases.
You know what? Who knew she reminds me of is Amy Winehouse. She's refusing to.
No.
Yeah. Do you want to go to rehab?
No. All right. I do not.
All right. But don't blame us if that leads you down a very, very bad path.
It is going to be, and I'm telling you now, you're going to be a little bit older, get a couple more years on you,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to regret that.
Yep.
Because the colonel right now dealing with the, and it's a true thing.
It ruins your
Timmy,
eyes.
Timmy, you remember that, the BlackBerry era.
Yeah. Crackberry.
Yeah, and the colonel had a BlackBerry. And so my BlackBerry, you know, you'd answer emails. That was the big thing, you know.
Right.
It wasn't so much texting, but you'd answer emails. And right now what the colonel dealing with, Timmy, is you can take a look right here, is a case of severe tendonitis in my thumbs, and they call it BlackBerry thumb.
That's from having your thumb up your ass.
See how hostile the woman is?
I know.
I'm trying to make a public service announcement for the good of our listeners.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about people getting the BlackBerry thumb anymore.
It's the same thing as with texting, though, because it's...
They still sell BlackBerries?
No,
yes,
but...
the government has to buy something.
Oh, okay.
It is a... it's not a natural repetitive movement for your thumbs, and if you keep texting and you keep doing it, it's all right when you're young and you're more flexible, but...
I swear that texting has cost me my eyesight. I mean, my eyes are just getting worse and worse than I think.
No, I believe that was probably looking at pornography on your telephone.
I think that's what it was, too.
One or the other. Okay, Colonel, any shout-outs?
Yeah, we said you'd go blind if you just kept doing it.
If you kept doing it, that's how you go blind.
Yeah.
My shout-outs, let's see. I'm going off the top of my head here now. We always got the lovely Lady Beverly.
Yes.
And her wonderful sheepdog. She got a beautiful, beautiful sheep. Yeah, Sully.
And, okay. That reminds me of Canute and Storm.
Yeah, she's got a big, big old lovable sheepdog. And Canute and Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't given them a shout-out in a while.
Yeah.
Let's see who we got here. We're not going to call him an official sponsor. We're going to call him a friend of the show, Bob Mears and Son Painting.
Yes.
Still stroking after 27 years. He can do interior, exterior. Actually, when I believe the Lou, Isn't that the place in Paris?
The Louvre.
The Louvre.
The Louvre.
The Louvre's the bathroom.
No, the Louvre's the bathroom. You're right.
They have a Louvre in the Louvre, though.
They had a...
That's crazy.
Yeah.
They needed some touch-up work done on the Mona Lisa. Who'd they call?
Bob Muir?
Bob Muir and Son.
Actually, I saw the Mona Lisa when I was in Paris. And, I mean, you cannot even get close to it. I mean, there was just a crowd of people behind, you know, in front of you. It's just... That's the only place that's crowded. So if you want to know where the Mona Lisa is, you just follow the crowd because that's where everyone's standing. But I don't know. Back then, this was in the 90s, and it cost like $35 to get into the Louvre. I need to see what it would cost now. But I don't know why I said that. I'm just sharing.
And we got, who else do we got that are regular followers? We got
tons. We got Mary Ray. We've got my mom.
Who?
My mom.
No, Timmy, God damn it. Now, you know, you don't give shout-outs to your mama. Dottie Scott is my last. You know, I've seen, people may know this and they may not, but the Colonel, a fan of Bruce. And
Bruce Springsteen.
When he introduced the band, he always introduced Clarence last.
Okay.
Well, you always give a shout-out to Dottie last.
Okay. Clarence. I would like to give a shout-out to Sydney. I would like to give a shout out to Tara, to Bree, to Kim Taylor.
Oh, you know that Kim Taylor girl? She a friend of the devil.
Yeah, but she's smart lady. She's a smart lady.
Still right. A friend of the devil.
Celine, and then of course Brittany Nicole, otherwise known as.
Backdoor Brittany.
No.
Buttercup. I'm sorry.
Yes. So thank you all for listening. And
did you hit Stephanie Keish?
Didn't get Stephanie. Happy. Thank you for listening, Stephanie and William. And we have so many listeners, and we appreciate your participation on the Facebook page.
And what we need to do, listeners, is if you post on the Facebook page, you need to put your birthday up there.
No.
So we can give you a happy birthday.
Well, if you want to do that, you can send us a private message.
Or a private message, yeah.
But we love it when you post on a Facebook page after our podcast because...
What do you mean, no, they shouldn't put their birthday on?
No, they shouldn't put their
birthday. That's not personal. Somebody going
to
steal the damn identity?
They can if they want to. I'm just saying they don't. They shouldn't. Yeah, don't put your Social Security number up there. Anyway,
could you leave your credit card number and your PayPal password? Yeah,
this is off topic, but I read that Anonymous was going to release Donald Trump's Social Security number. Sweet. And private cell phone number. Okay. Anyway, on to the topic of the show, which is the lipstick murderer or lipstick murders. I'm going to talk about I'm going to give you a background on the lead suspect, the guy who went to prison for this. As we said, there's still some doubt whether or not he was actually guilty. Brandy's going to tell us about the murders, and then Charles is going to go over all the suspects and all the different evidence. So let's get right into it. William George Ahrens was born in 1928. In Evanston, Illinois. Of course, Colonel, you're very familiar.
Outside of Chicago.
Outside of Chicago. You're familiar with Illinois. Of course, Scott lives in Illinois.
No, Scott lives in Indiana.
No, Scott lives
in Illinois. He does live in Illinois. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's
Scotty Jackson.
But William Ahrens grew up in Evanston in a neighborhood called Lincolnwood, which is a suburb of Chicago. And he grew up during the Great Depression, having been born in 1928. His parents had been in the floral business, so they liked flowers. They dealt with flowers. But they lost their business due to the economy.
I wonder if they were dirty flowers.
I don't know. So he grew up in a relatively poor household because, you know, they lost their business due to the Great Depression. But his upbringing was fairly normal. I mean, his father did odd jobs spent his time working. He wasn't abusive like a lot of our stories of serial killers, you know, the parents are abusive. That's not the case in Mr. Ahrens' situation.
Even when the flower. You know, Timmy, this is something just let me throw out to the listeners here, our men listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the grocery store a lot. And here's what I found that is just a good idea. This when you go to like the Kroger, I go to the Kroger. That's where I go.
It's a local
Yeah, local
grocery chain.
Big supermarket chain. And they have a floral section in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can usually grab yourself a bunch, a handful of fresh flowers for about $10.
Uh-huh.
So about every couple weeks, I go to the grocery store and I grab myself a bouquet of fresh flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And I take them home. Huh?
Does it make you feel pretty?
You know what? Mrs. Colonel just likes to have fresh flowers on the dining room table.
That's very thoughtful of you, Colonel.
And if you do that, your chances of having intercourse, they jumps exponentially.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay.
So if any of you are struggling with that.
Maybe try that with your husband, Brandy.
I don't think so.
Okay.
She's not interested in that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, don't you have problems with that, though? I mean, why do you need to buy her flowers?
Yeah.
You got the whole ED bloody stool.
I don't
situation.
Have the ED bloody stool thing going on.
I mean, you got all that happening.
You need a crane.
Yeah. Or at least a... You
now,
know,
yesterday we tried to get my Mrs. Colonel on the phone, and it was after the show, and she...
Shockingly hung up.
She did hang up, but her nickname for me is...
dipshit.
What was it? Cold Blue
Asshole.
Steel.
Dipshit.
No, you tried to get her to admit that you were...
quite virile. Her words were quite virile.
We're here for you, Chuck. I don't know why...
Quite impotent, I believe, is what she said.
I don't know why you just continue to...
She did not dispute your impotence at all.
Perpetuate this thing. We're here for you.
I mean, sex isn't everything, Chuck. You can learn to live without it.
What were her exact words? She said, it's like 3 inches of brick.
Wow.
I mean, you know, don't be too concerned, Colonel, because I've read where, you know, some guys are able to reach climax without even, you know, being erect. So.
Well, that's good to know.
Life's not
that should be comforting for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't worry too much about it. Anyway, let's get back to William Ahrens.
Poor little fallen.
Buy some flowers.
Your
that's all I'm
poor
telling
little
you.
Fallen soldier.
So William Ahrens.
The little general got shot by official orders.
William in a tomb of the unknown soldier.
I can't imagine that'd be very satisfying, though. William Ahrens' mother...
Be like peeing yourself.
She worked at a bakery and often had to leave him alone with his three younger brothers and baby or with baby sisters. William was reportedly to be a loner and enjoyed playing with technical things such as chemistry sets. Remember those, Colonel? Chemistry sets when you was a kid?
Erector sets.
Yeah,
remember those?
Yeah.
I remember chemistry sets.
You didn't have much luck with those, did you?
We had a chemistry set, but then we got busted for math. Kind of.
That's a
bummer. Yeah, the thing with the chemistry sets is they give you some crazy-ass shit. You could do some serious damage with those
things.
Well,
yeah. It sounds like an easy bake ovens, man. I don't know. Kids should not have easy bake ovens if you're four.
It's a light bulb.
Mm-hmm. Still. Have you ever tasted those things?
They're not good.
No, they're not good at all. Okay, so anyway, he played with toy airplanes. He also liked repairing old clocks. Not old cocks, old clocks.
Old clocks.
Yeah, now if he liked repairing old cocks, that would,
would
refer them to you. Yeah. But anyway, in order to escape, his parents had some, you know, they had some marital discord. But there was no violence in the home. But he liked to hang out by himself and outside. And he took up an interesting hobby to kind of relieve the tension from the the marital stress his parents was having.
Masturbating.
He ended up breaking and entering. That was his little hobby.
Everybody needs a hobby.
Well, yeah. So he did this as a teen, early teen. The only thing he stole for financial reasons was very small amounts of cash. The rest of the loot would include things like clothes or radios, guns he stole, and he kept them in a storage shed near his home. At age 11, he saw a couple having sex.
Ooh-wee.
He told his mom about this experience. And she told him that sex
Why
was...
Why would you do that?
I don't know. But she told him that sex was dirty and nasty and led to diseases.
All those things are true. She's not wrong.
See, devil is a sex hater.
Yeah. So...
Not well, really.
I feel sorry for Mr. Devil.
When William had his first kiss, when he first kissed a girl at age 12... He became, he started to burst into tears and he vomited.
See, so, and that's why, that's what happens.
Guess the girl named threw up and probably did not leave a good
scarred
impression.
Scarred for life.
No, second date. Not. Second date there.
So he didn't. He didn't. It wasn't like he kissed a girl and didn't like it.
Yeah, he did not like it. At age 13, he was arrested for carrying a 25 caliber handgun that he had stolen. He confessed to many break-ins and was sent to the Gilbert School for Wayward Boys in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Terre Haute.
Terre Haute, Indiana, which 2 years later would also house Charlie Manson. Interesting enough.
Yes!
Yeah.
Good old Chuck Manson.
Chucky Manson. After 2 months at the Gilbert School for Wayward Boys, he was released, and he was arrested again for breaking and entering. He was then sent to the St. Bede Academy, which was a college or a Catholic college prep high school, where he was an excellent student. In 1945, at age 16, he was released, having skipped his senior year. He had very good test scores, so they allowed him to skip a year. And he enrolled at the University of Chicago. Now, I'll tell you what, you even get into the University of Chicago. I mean, that's a pretty good school.
Yeah, that's a tough one to get into.
Yeah, good school. He was majoring in electrical engineering. But even while in school, he continued his breaking and entering. He didn't want to give that up.
He didn't want to get rusty.
Right. During his first years, things went well. Eventually, though, his parents could not afford the tuition. University of Chicago is a very expensive school. They couldn't afford his tuition or his dorm fees, and it forced him to do part-time work at night as well as continuing to break it into homes for money. He eventually started stealing war bonds as well. Well, that's patriotic of him.
There you go.
It was during the Second War. It was, 1944 in the 1945 and during the Second World War. So, during his second year of at the university, his grades started to slip, because he started dating and vomiting a lot, I guess. And then
he got bulimia every time he got a girlfriend.
Yes, and he started to spend less time doing homework, and he continued to supplement his income by breaking into homes and doing and robbing them. And so now we're going to move into the lipstick murders that occurred around this time.
So, about that time, the lipstick murders started. The first murder was attributed to the lipstick killer took place in June of 1945. June 5th, actually, to be exact, 43-year-old Josephine Ross was found dead in her apartment. She'd been repeatedly stabbed, and her head was wrapped in a dress, and her throat had been slit. It was presumed that she was surprised by an intruder who then killed her. Dark hair was found clutched in her hand, so she put up a struggle and yanked some of his hair out. And no valuables were taken. So if he's burglaring while he's there, he's doing a piss poor job.
Unless he was interrupted before he could.
Murderous interruptus.
Yeah.
Devil, you got your purse handy, Devil? Or do you even wear lipstick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is what I can't get about this guy. How the hell you stab somebody to death with lipstick?
Well, you can. It depends. You know, those little lip gloss brushes can make a dent.
Yeah.
But it just seems like a lot of work. I mean, it seems like it will crush and get
off. He used a knife. He's called the lipstick murderer because he wrote notes in lipstick.
Oh, and I'll get to that here.
Okay.
If you want to hold
See,
your
now
questions.
This whole thing's making more sense to me because I'm sitting here all the whole time wondering how the hell you stab somebody to death or kill somebody with lipstick.
I think you could with a lip gloss.
Well, when they said the lipstick murder, I thought, well, maybe he choked him to death with lipstick or put poison on their lipstick.
His problems is not limited to impotence and colon cancer.
Is?
Yeah.
True.
Could we just go on here? The Colonel, a little bit of a superstitious person. And as of yet.
Erotic is the term that I
have
use.
Not Easy had pot. Problems with impotence or colon cancer. But if we keep bringing it up, you're going to bring the colonel some bad juju.
Well, I'm just saying, if you got bloody stool and you can't get a hard on, that's usually the problem. Go ahead, Brandy.
And that's all it could be is colon cancer. Yeah. All right. So
that doesn't make you any less of a man.
It does.
Well, yeah, it does. I'm just trying to make it feel good.
I'm just saying it does.
Actually makes him a woman.
Continue. All right. So she'd fought with her intruder and yanked out a bunch of his hair, but there wasn't anything taken from her apartment. Police first suspected Ross, who was single, may have been the victim of an angry lover.
Lover.
So they investigated the fucking men in her life.
How's she banging a lot of guys?
Well,
she's a victim. We can't make fun of her.
No, her fiance had an alibi, as did her former boyfriends and ex-husbands.
Oh man!
I mean, how far back did they go?
And her ex-husbands?
Yeah,
that's scandalous at the time.
Multiple, it looks like.
She was probably active. She was
more than one.
Probably very active on Tinder.
She probably was.
She was.
And the police really didn't have any other suspects, so they looked for a dark complexion man who was reported loitering in the apartment or running from the scene, but they were unable to identify him or locate him.
Okay.
5 months later, on December 11th, 1945...
That's be right around the holiday season.
It would be, and this is a damper. Frances Brown was discovered stabbed to death in her apartment after a cleaning woman heard radio playing loud and noted that Brown's door was partially open. She was killed by a gunshot wound to the head, stabbed post-mortem, and her body interacted with in a way similar to that of Ross.
Okay, so she was stabbed multiple times, but she was stabbed after she was dead. She was shot.
She was shot.
Okay.
This time, the killer wrote a message on the mirror above the apartment's... on a mirror above the bed. Her
okay.
bed.
Okay.
And those the little lipstick vanity things.
You know how sometimes you got the mirror behind the bed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the car got the mirror.
There was a reason she had all those ex-husbands and boyfriends.
No. This is the second victim. This is victim number two.
Anyway, it said, for heaven's sake, in lipstick, it says, for heaven's sake, catch me before I kill more. I cannot control myself. A, that's a big-ass mirror.
Well, what color was the lipstick?
I'm
guessing red, but I don't know.
Probably vamp red, yeah.
Well, so, I think back in those days, they only had one color.
Oh, really? Only red.
This was olden days.
So it's like the mirror on the ceiling is what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. The colonel got a mirror on the ceiling.
No, you don't.
Got a swing.
Mm-mm. This led to him being nicknamed the lipstick killer.
Pretty clever.
So clever.
Yeah. But he didn't actually kill any lipstick, nor did he kill anybody
with
lipstick.
Well, he killed that thing of lipstick, because, I mean, I bet it was out by the time he finished
writing
War and Peace on this man here.
The key, I don't think I've got it in there, Brandy, but one of the factors that makes me question this a little bit is the spelling was awful. The spelling was awful. And we've already said that Mr. Ahrens was a...
highly intelligent.
An educated man.
He was an educated man.
You know what, though? Here's the thing. When you're all pumped up and...
Yeah, when you kill a couple, you might...
Yeah, after you've killed some people, you may misspell some words.
You may have a typo, too. You're right. I'm just saying that's just curious to me that...
Curiouser and curiouser.
Yeah.
Although he could have misspelled on purpose.
Maybe.
Let's see. Police found a bloody fingerprint smudge on the door jamb of the entrance door. Also, there was a possible eyewitness to the killer's escape, and an ear witness.
An ear witness.
An ear witness, George Weinberg, heard gunshots about 4 a.m.
Weinberg?
Yes, so he was awake.
He was.
According to John Derrick, the night clerk stationed in the lobby of the building, a nervous man of 35 to 40 years old, weighing approximately 140 pounds, had gotten off the elevator, fumbled for the door... and went onto the street and left.
See, nowadays you'd have the video security.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, they had night watchmen. On January 7th, 1946, 6-year-old Suzanne Dignan...
Yeah, this is a little bit different one, but go ahead.
...was discovered missing from her bedroom.
This is a little girl. that is a true statement because she is six and her name is Suzanne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my point is the other one were grown women and this is a little girl. So this is a little bit different.
So they searched the home and didn't find the girl. Her seeming kidnapping earned significant publicity, and the police vowed to find whoever was responsible. They found a ladder outside the girl's window and also discovered a ransom note which had been overlooked. The note read, "Get $20,000 ready and wait for word. Do not notify FBI or police. Bills in fives and tens."
On the reverse, fives and tens.
On the reverse of the note was written, "Burn this for her safety." And they're right. He can't spell. It's ridiculous. So a man reportedly called the Dignan residence demanding the ransom, but hung up before any meaningful conversation took place. Police questioned the family's neighbors, but nobody'd seen anything unusual. Someone telephoned the police anonymously and suggested that the police look in the sewers near the family home. They did. Oh, that's no good. They did and discovered the girl's head in a catch basin that was in the alley. In the same alley, they discovered the girl's right leg in another catch basin, her torso in a storm drain, and her left leg was found in another alley.
This is a six-year-old.
Her arms were found in a sewer a month later. That is unusual for this guy. He just is
stabber. No, yeah, it doesn't match at all the other victims to me. It seemed like it's a totally different.
Yeah, so I don't know what would connect them together. Searches uncovered a laundry tub in a nearby apartment building basement across from where her head was found that seemed to have been where she was dismembered. The press called it the murder room. Police questioned hundreds of people and gave polygraph exams to about 170. On several occasions, authorities claimed to have captured her killer, but were embarrassed when the cases proved baseless and the suspects were released.
Yeah. So now there's a serial killer on the loose. They don't really have any good suspects. They're just...
Well, this little Suzanne girl, she's...
It was a whole different thing. Yeah, it sounds like it. She was a child.
Young girl, yeah.
Then she was kidnapped and then mutilated.
Dismembered.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a whole other different type of case. But anyway, Charles, tell us about the investigation.
And the problem you have with the investigation is what you two were just surprisingly halfway intelligently talking about.
Yeah, we do what we can.
Yeah,
even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and again.
But they're trying to establish an MO here. And the only thing they really had, they got that all the victims were female. Okay,
you got that.
The first two were in their 30s and 40s. Now, we're thinking like policemen here.
Yeah.
Okay, we're thinking like 1945 policemen.
Let me put my Sherlock Holmes hat on.
Not Sherlock Holmes. It's a 1945 policeman, so it's, hey, Mac.
Yeah, can't get in the copper.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Let me put my dragnet hat on.
Yeah, that was 1970.
That's the best thing ever. You have a dragnet hat?
Adam 12. One Adam 12. One Adam 12. See the lady. Continue, Carl.
Okay. Now, the first two were in their 30s or 40s, and were both killed in their apartments after the assailant broke in. Now, the third victim, you know, Susan Dignan, she was abducted from her home, taken to a separate location, and killed. Now, in the first two cases, the killer also ransacked the apartments, but never stole anything valuable. Now, all three victims were killed in different ways, but all were mutilated somehow post-mortem, and that means after death.
Thank you. Post meaning after, mortem meaning death.
From the Spanish.
Yeah.
From the Spanish.
Postus mortemus.
Postus mortemus was a Harry Potter spell.
I believe that was a hostess treat of some sort. Postus mortemus. But anyway,
I really like those orange snowballs that Hostess makes.
Oh. I like the orange cupcakes.
I love the orange cupcakes.
Those are ridiculous.
What you got against those?
They're stupid. They're not chocolate. They're dumb. They're not real orange.
Well, I don't know that the chocolate ones are real chocolate.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Okay.
It has the same little scribble on it, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, and they're orange.
They're good.
I like them. I'm with you, Chuck.
They're good.
I might go get one after this podcast.
Yeah.
My whole box.
Okay, so anyway.
Do that.
Oh, you know what they make now? Oh. Red velvet ones.
I just can't get in the red velvet.
Some red velvet. Well, anyway.
If they make blue velvet, like, you know.
Black velvet, if you
please. Or black velvet or blue velvet, like Bobby Vinton, I get that. But go ahead, anyway, Carl.
Okay. In the cases, now, in the case of Josephine Ross and Francis Brown.
You don't like snowballs, though. My God. Even the white snowball, I would take, but the orange snowball.
Don't they have coconut on them?
They got faux coconut.
Yeah, I don't like coconut.
I don't like coconut, but I can eat the snowballs because they got the faux coconut.
What's your feeling on pumpkin spice?
Pumpkin spice is a...
Why?
Unnatural thing. It's just not...
What, it's pumpkin not natural. And a spice?
It's good in a pie, but it's terrible in a coffee.
But about a donut?
Nope, not in a donut.
All right.
Continue. Not going to have it.
Continue with the...
If it's going to be a donut, it's going to be a Boston cream donut. That's all we're going to have. Maybe a jelly fill.
Okay. Do you like the do you like the custard filling? Or
I do not like that cheap-ass white cream filling that they try to pass on.
The cream?
Huh?
The opera cream?
Whatever the hell that shit is. That's the nastiest stuff I ever...
It looks like sperm, man. If you get it on your face.
It looks like somebody popping a big zit.
How are you eating a fucking donut if you get it on your face?
I'm saying, if you get that white cream on your face, it looks like someone spunked on you.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. What is wrong with you?
Just saying.
How do you eat a donut? Like, you just unhinge your jaw and... shove it down your gut.
It's hard to eat.
Like a damn python. He's just like...
It's hard to eat a donut delicately.
No, it's not. It's not. I manage to do it all the time. I manage to do it without making it look like John Holmes spooched on the face.
What the...
And all the time.
We cannot. Can we get to one podcast without your vulgarity and disgusting spooging?
Clearly that I have had my share of donuts.
My sensibilities are just all
around. All right, let's go back to the investigation because we do not want to distract our listeners from this trite.
But I think some of our
conversation.
Yeah.
Please continue, Colonel. Remember when we said this was going to be a short podcast?
Remember, you see, the thing is about
those... I do, but it seemed like so long ago.
About those
white... We got through our part pretty quickly, if I recall.
About those white donuts, white filled cream donuts to me.
Well, then you could get a LeClaire, and then it really looks like you're going down. You know what I mean?
What the fuck?
And then get some in her hair, and she just all mad about it.
You know, I probably shouldn't. Yeah, I'm not going to say.
You squeezed the eclair too much.
There was a situation where I was with a friend who I hope is not listening to this podcast at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And she just had went to the hairdresser.
The Colonel knew right where this one was headed to me.
And she must have said a dozen times, not in the hair.
Didn't listen.
But
did
you know, and this is what, ladies, this is what you don't understand. Get yourself a good shower cap.
Well,
if you're not worried about it, get yourself a good shower cap.
It's not that easy to control. Where, you know, I mean,
it's like a fire hose.
I'm not a fucking archer.
An archer.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You take what you get.
It's like I said, it's a fire hose. It just wiggle out of control.
Right.
You don't know.
Right. It's not our fault. Don't blame us.
This is where you went from donuts, Timmy.
I'm sorry. Let's get back to the investigation of the...
Well, because Timmy's wearing his donut.
Let's get back to the investigation of the lipstick murderer.
Okay, well, in the cases of Josephine Ross and Francis Brown, killer taped over the gashes in their bodies.
Brandy's got something she wants to say.
And I don't know by what gash they're referring to.
Wait. You think Timmy goes in and eats a donut like this?
No. I'm just saying it's hard to eat a cream-filled donut without the cream coming out.
It's not that hard to do.
Please, I would love for our listeners to post a picture of themselves eating, delicately eating a cream-filled donut without the cream being exposed. That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to see. That's our challenge.
He's going to put
they're
you...
Not, they're not putting their head in up to their shoulders on a fucking Greenfield donut. Jesus God.
Because there's going to be some freak out there.
Well, I mean...
He uses that look, picture for his spank bank.
If it's a Twinkie...
What?
It's a Twinkie, you got a little bit more control.
Do ya?
Yeah, you have more control over a Twinkie.
Twinkie to mouth, never mouth to Twinkie. I'm just saying.
But you're getting in some of those funky cream-filled donuts. You don't even the round. You don't know where this shit's going to come out to the side. You don't know where that cream is going.
Well, I feel your pain, sweetie. I live with that. You know, okay. I gotcha.
All right.
Well,
I'm just saying.
The jelly filled it worse, really.
Yeah, I don't do jelly filled.
Jelly filled.
No.
Jelly filled.
It's like messy.
Get into a whole different.
Oh, you're doing laundry after you have a jelly filled donut. All right, continue, Colonel, with the investigation.
At least have to shower.
I do not believe I can't.
Yes, you can. Compose yourself.
I'm trying to compose
myself. Compose yourself, sir.
Excuse me. Somebody slap me, please.
Really?
Okay, so anyway, in the case of Josephine Ross and Francis Brown, they kind of taped over the gashes in their bodies.
Aww. He taped over them.
I guess he was. That was the first Brazilian wax. I don't know.
Oh, like a Band-Aid or something?
Okay, the gash where he stabbed him. Never mind. I was probably thinking something else.
Donut on him. So he stabbed him and he put tape on him?
Adhesive tape. And
might have got donut on themselves.
And he wrapped the article of clothing around the heads. Now, this is just the two, Francis Brown and Josephine Ross. Remember, we only got three dead here.
Right.
This is not a prolific serial killer. Another recurring thing in the apartments and the murders was tubs of some sort, which is...
Like butter?
I do not really get, because if you're going to be in any kind of dwelling, you're going to find...
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
The tub.
Like a butter?
No.
Plastic
tub? Wash tub, bathtub, whatever.
All right.
Josephine Ross, now her body was washed in the bathtub in her apartment.
After post-mortem?
Post-mortemus. Okay. Francis Brown's body was washed the same way and was found draped over the edge of a bathtub. And Suzanne Degnan now.
Summers.
She was dismembered and thrown into the ultimate bathtub, the storm sewers.
Yeah, that's that doesn't fit the other two.
Now, according to some, and according to signature checks, he had a habit of urinating and defecating in the apartments. Now,
when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Now, see, this is where you cross the line. Now, you're gonna be a serial killer. That's fine. Okay.
Right.
It's one thing you come home, you find your auntie or whoever, you know, all chopped up in the bedroom. I mean, not gonna happen from time to time. But you come home and find a big load of human dew in your living room.
Dude,
that's crossing the line.
I had a roommate at high university when I in a dorm. He wouldn't, because you know the bathrooms are in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
He would go. He would pee in a corner of our dorm room.
And
by the end of the semester, that it would sit.
Why did you let that happen?
I don't know. I mean, he was always drunk, and he didn't want any. He would, you know, he didn't want to go down the hallway, I guess, and he would just pee in the corner, and it was so gross. By the end of, I only was roommates. There were four of us, and I only was roommates with him one semester. But so gross.
Anyway. Oh, I believe you. I would have done a bag of batteries on his ass.
It's disgusting.
For realsies.
So anyway, this guy. Now this is the sign of a sick, foul mind. You're just taking a dump in the apartment after you kill somebody.
Well,
you know,
it's very disrespectful.
Well, I mean, you already got to clean up all the blood. No, he's not doing it in the bathroom. He's doing it on the sofa and on the TV.
Yeah,
on
that's
the,
disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, you come in and you got to clean up the body parts already. And
well,
now,
see, now that would be a wealth of DNA. Now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back then, it was just a pile of shit. Then now it's evidence, you know?
Well, I think it was some sort of evidence, but I don't know exactly what made it.
Well, because then, you know, you get the stool chart out.
Yeah, well,
would you like me to go over that again?
It appears the killer had corn within the last 2 days.
Ew. I could get the stool chart out again if you like.
I don't know what kind of stool he left.
All right. If we had time, I would certainly go. We might do just a podcast on stool at some point.
Oh.
Well, the colonel going to have to, well, we'll get back into that after this.
Well, we're not doing nothing on your bloody stool.
Because that's gross.
It's gross. We'll just do that after your...
The colonel does not have bloody stool. Why do you keep saying that?
Maybe he needs a colonic.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he needs a coffee enema. Cream and sugar with that, Colonel?
I want a pumpkin spice latte enema.
Okay. Please continue.
So, anyway.
So when you toot, it smells like fall?
It's like pumpkin spice?
It's like
it's the Bristol stool
Dupourri. Dupourri.
Dupourri.
Hold on, we're getting into the good part, so okay. I'll let you get to the stool here.
I'm not going to bring up the stool.
Aaron's had a habit of doing the same in apartments, so this guy, Aaron's,
so that was a common thread.
That was, yeah, it's like, you ever see Home Alone? You know how they leave the water running all the time? Well, he had a habit of taking a dump in an apartment after he'd break into it. He also liked to steal women's underwear.
Well, who doesn't?
And the other thing, you know, that just didn't fit, as we've said, is this little Suzanne. She was dismembered and her parts were put down the drain and such.
Yeah, and she was kidnapped. I mean, none of that makes sense. None of that was...
It doesn't make a damn bit of sense. Now,
it's not consistent at all.
Now, the police interviewed over 370 suspects, and they narrowed their range down to a few. The first one was a guy named Hector Verberg.
The few, the proud.
And he was 65. He was a 65-year-old janitor. Now, he was arrested on suspicion of murder on the basis that... Now, this is a good... Now, this is some nice-ass police work right here.
Uh-huh.
Right here, you don't get any better. He was arrested on suspicion of murder on the basis that he worked in the apartment building where the little girl lived. The sink in which the victim was dismembered was in an area he frequented, and the grimy state of the ransom note suggested it was written by a dirty hand. And who frequently have dirty hands? Janitors.
No, people who don't wash their hands?
Janitors.
Not the king's hand.
So confident.
I found a new poo chart. Listen to the different types.
There are many poos.
Rabbit droppings. Number two, bunch of grapes. Number three, corn on a cob. Number four, sausage. Number five, chicken nuggets. Number six, porridge. And number seven, gravy.
Gravy.
I don't like any of that.
All right, go ahead.
So the police were so confident that they found it. That they just told the press, this is the man. Mm-hmm. Despite so many discrepancies between his profile and the one that developed by them, and they knew what skills this killer had to have, and Verberg had none of them, including him having surgical knowledge or at least being a butcher. Now, this 65-year-old man was repeatedly beaten under police questioning.
Yeah, they beat the shit out of this guy.
For 48 hours. So bad they separated his shoulder, but he still refused to confess. Your
clearly
man,
morale did not improve.
Take the beating, no. Hector. Take the beating. And
he sued him.
Yeah, the janitor union, the janitors had unions back then. They got him released. And he said, this is the experience. Oh, they hanged me up. They blindfolded me. I can't put up my arms. They're sore. They had handcuffs on me for hours and hours. They threw me into a cell and blindfolded me. They handcuffed my hands behind my back and pulled me up on bars until my toes touched the floor. I got nothing to eat. I went to the hospital. Damn, I'm so sick. Any more, and I would have confessed to anything.
That guy in Gitmo, man.
Well, and you know, that's why they say just what he said. Any more, and I would have confessed to anything. That's why they say torture doesn't work. Although, if you know the person did it, torture works just fine.
Well, this guy, though, they beat the shit out of him over days.
Yeah, 2 days they beat him. Now he ended up suing him. He was spent 10 days in the hospital after this. So, and the thing about him, he couldn't write English well enough to even write a ransom note.
Yeah, even the poorly written ransom note. Yeah.
So he sued the Chicago Police Department for $15,000, but was awarded $20,000, which is a big chunk of change back then.
Sure.
It's about $52,000 or so now. Now, $5,000 of that was awarded to Verberg and his wife, and the police tried to pressure the wife to implicate the husband in the murder.
Yeah, they put pressure on her. So, I mean, at this point, they've got this serial killer on the loose. They're getting a lot of bad publicity. They're looking to hang us on someone.
Yeah, know. Just beat the hell out of the old man.
Right, the janitor.
Now, they had another Sidney Sherman. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds like a serial killer to me, Sidney Sherman.
Three names.
It's either a serial killer or somebody who's a great military leader, one of the two.
Like, or a little dog.
Yeah. Or a little dog, Sidney Sherman. Yeah. Sidney or Sherman, mm-hmm. Two dogs. But he was a false lead, and he was a recently discharged Marine who had served in World War II. Now, police had found some hairs in the back of the little girl's apartment building, and nearby was a wire that authorities suspected could have been used to garrote little Suzanne.
Mm.
And near that was a handkerchief the police believed that had been used as a gag to keep Suzanne quiet. Now, on the handkerchief, there was a laundry mark named S. Sherman. The police hoped that perhaps the killer had made a fatal error.
He lives at 42.
Fatal error.
42 Wallaby Way. Sydney, Australia.
Be Peabody and Sherman.
You guys don't even get that joke, but it's spectacular for anybody that has kids.
Okay, continue, Colonel.
Thank you.
P. Sherman.
P. Sherman?
42 Wallaby Way.
Was that Sherman the dog with Mr. Peabody?
He was, but it was also where, in Finding Nemo, that was the address that they were
going to. Oh, that's you. Okay.
I watched Finding Nemo on a plane, but I wasn't listening to it. I was just watching it.
Well, then you missed out on a lot.
As long as he was found.
Okay, now the police hoped that this...
Like you care.
I didn't care.
Police hoped that this handkerchief was going to be the smoking gun, so to speak.
The smoking handkerchief.
Yeah, smoking handkerchief. And they searched military records and discovered that so they're looking for a S. Sherman. So they searched the military records and found that Sidney lived in nearby Hyde Park YMCA. So he was clearly one of the village people.
YMCA.
So the police went to question Sherman.
You can get yourself clean.
You can have a good meal.
Well, you can do anything you feel.
You know, it's fun to stay there.
Yeah.
Continue, Colonel.
Okay, so the police went to question Sherman, but discovered that he had vacated the residence without checking out and quit his job without picking up his last paycheck.
That's odd.
Suggesting the actions of a guilty person, since someone who was innocent would be unlikely to leave without their last paycheck.
Yeah.
So a nationwide manhunt ensued, and Sherman was found 4 days later in Toledo, Ohio. He explained under interrogation that he had eloped with his girlfriend and denied the handkerchief was even his. He was given a polygraph test and passed and cleared. Eventually,
I'm not sure of the accuracy of those polygraph tests even today, but I sure am not sure of them.
Oh, you can beat them.
Back in 1945,
you put a penny between your big toe, your toe, and your two toes, and it screws everything up.
I do that anyway.
Yeah,
just for luck,
just for fun,
just for fun.
Yeah.
Great. Eventually, the real owner of the handkerchief wasn't even his handkerchief. They found it, and it belonged to Seymour Sherman of New York City, who'd been out of the country when the little girl was murdered. So,
did they give it back to him?
No, but they had no idea how it ended up there.
That's
now, you got another victim, or another guy here, Vincent Castellotto.
Okay.
Now, if it would have been a hit, you could have suspected this guy, but he don't sound like... So anyway...
He's part of the mafia.
Yeah, sound like the mob, Dave.
Yeah.
So on the day of Susan's disappearance, several calls to the Degnan residence demanding ransom payment, but without leaving further instructions or further conversations were made. The mystery who placed those calls...
To arrange for a ransom if you don't give them any instructions. Yeah.
Well, the mystery of who placed those calls was answered.
Okay.
Who was While it? Checking out local hooligans to see if they had any connection to the Degnan case.
Fucking local hooligans.
Local hooligans. They picked up a boy named Teddy Campbell.
Teddy Campbell.
Theodore Campbell, but his friends called him Teddy. Now, under questioning, he admitted that another local teenager named Vincent Castellotto had killed Susan Degnan.
All right, now we're on to something.
Now, the Chicago Tribune declared the Degnan case solved. Costello lived only a few blocks away from the girl and attended a nearby high school. He'd been convicted of armed robbery at 16 and sent to reform school.
So he was a bad egg.
He was a bad boy. According to the story, Campbell told the police that Costello told him that he had kidnapped and killed the girl and disposed of a body. Costello allegedly sent Campbell to make the ransom call to the Dregnans. This corroborated the mystery, the ransom calls, on the morning of Suzanne's, that she went missing. So police arrest this little Italian boy on that basis and interrogated him overnight. The story started to fall apart when both Campbell and Costello's polygraph test indicated that they had no knowledge of the murder. They later admitted that they heard police officers discussing details of the case and came up with the idea of trying to get a ransom.
Well, that's fucking stupid, man. If someone's kidnapped, don't go in and try to cut in and pick up the ransom. I mean, how dumb is that?
Well, it's,
you're gonna get nailed for.
It's opportunistic.
Yeah, but you're gonna get nailed for murder.
These were young entrepreneurs, Timmy.
Dumbasses. But anyway, so they were ruled out.
They were ruled out.
Okay.
Now we're getting to our boy here, William.
Mm-hmm.
And William, on June 26, 1946, he was arrested on attempted burglary charges when someone saw him breaking into an apartment. He took off running. The building's janitor chased after him, blocked his path out of the building. Now, Herons pointed the gun he was carrying at the janitor and said, "Let me get out of here, or let you have it in the guts." You know, but how they talk back.
Yeah,
then. I'll give
yeah.
it to you
now,
right in the guts.
If he was Jeremy Pomeroy, the hair lip, how would he say it?
He'd say, "Get me out of here, I'm giving him right in the gut."
Yeah,
but
really?
he
but
said
he wasn't.
More clearly.
Yeah.
So the janitor was like, "Okay, pursuit over." So he let him go.
Step right. Can I get the door for you?
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, "Yeah, I'm done running anyway." Now, Herons made his way to a nearby building to lay low.
Mm-hmm.
But a resident spotted him, called the police. Two police officers came, and from two different directions. When trapped, Herons brandished a revolver, perhaps pointing the barrel at one officer.
Ooh.
That's now, some reports state that he actually pulled the trigger and the gun misfired.
And the police think he'd do well in that scenario today.
He would not. He would not. In police accounts, according to the police, Herons charged him after his gun misfired twice. Now, Slick Willie's version here, he turned and attempted to run after bluffing with the gun, and the cops charged him. A scuffle. And I put air quotes around that because they probably beat the holy hell out of the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Resulted in that resulted ended only when an off-duty policeman dropped a flower pot, just like Wile E. Coyote or Bugs Bunny or something. They dropped a damn flower pot on his head, rendering him unconscious. And that will do it. It would do it. You ever had a flower pot dropped on you?
No, I'm sure you have.
It is not fun. I'll tell you that. All you recall is a pleasant smell, and everything goes black.
Really?
Well, depending on the flowers that's in the pot.
All right.
But now, according to Willie here, and Willie Ahrens, I like to call him Willie.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because that sounds like what people would call him.
Yeah.
He remembered drifting into consciousness under questioning. Mm-hmm. Police had taken him to Bridewell Hospital, which was right next to the Cook County Jail. Police threatened him, punched him, jabbed him in the body, and he felt he got fingerprinted. Now, without a prior record, he was familiar with a prior record. He knew what fingerprinting was. Now, the questioning became more and more intense, and you got to remember, this boy's got a pretty serious concussion from the flower pot.
Right. Keep in mind, they're trying to find this, there's a lot of pressure on them to solve this murder mystery, and they've got this guy who they just got in a scuffle with, who was breaking and entering all of these places, now they knocked him out with a flower pot. So continue.
Well, and now, so they tell him, we know you did it. At one point, someone, and again, this is where we're crossing the line. Mm-hmm. He had it coming because he did defecate in somebody's apartment.
Right.
But at one point, an officer punched him in the testicles so hard.
Ooh, that's no good.
It caused him to vomit.
See what I mean, Brandy? You do not do that.
There's nothing cricket about that, Timmy. No. Nothing at all. They also.
Well, it's unchristian-like.
Oh, well, what would Jesus do? Certainly not punch somebody in the testicles.
Never.
Never. No, Jesus would not do that. So anyway, they also burned him with ether. So anyway.
He had some pretty tough methods.
He was interrogated around the clock for 6 days, being beaten and abused by the police and not allowed to eat or drink. He was not allowed to see his parents for 4 days. He was also refused the opportunity to speak to a lawyer for 6 days. Two psychiatrists, Dr. Haynes and Roy Grinker, gave Aaron sodium pentothal without a warrant and without Aaron's or his parents' consent, and interrogated him for 3 hours. Now, under the influence of drugs, Willie spoke of an alternate personality named George Merman, who actually committed the murders. Willie claimed that he recalled little of the drug-induced interrogation. Now, on his fifth day of custody, he was given a lumbar puncture without anesthesia.
Oh,
yeah, and that was, I believe, just for fun. Moments later, he was driven to police headquarters for a polygraph test.
There you go.
They tried for a few minutes to administer the test, but he was in such obvious pain that the test was rescheduled for several days later. He took the polygraph test, and it was inconclusive, so they sent him to the Cook County Jail. Now, after the sodium pentothal, and that's what they call true serum, questioning before the polygraph thing, Willie spoke to Captain Michael Ahern, one of the few Chicago officers who had shown him any kindness. Now, you had the state's attorney, William Toohey, and a stenographer at hand, and Ahrens offered an indirect confession, confirming his claim that while under sodium pentothal, that of his alter ego, George Merman, might have been responsible for these crimes.
Yeah. I'm not buying that alter ego thing.
No. George, which happened to be his father's first name and Heron's middle name, had given him the loot to hide in his dormitory room. Police hunted all over for this. George, questioning Heron's known friends and families and associates, became way empty-handed. Details of the interrogation did get out at the time, valid or not. So, there were all kinds of stories circulating.
Well, again, they were under a lot of pressure to solve these murders.
So he's saying there's a guy named George running about here. First it was an alter ego, then it was another guy. A completely different guy. And he said that George, he'd known him for 13 years, and George killed like a cobra. He just sent him out. It was George who sent him out prowling at night. Then he robbed for pleasure and killed like a cobra when cornered. So now Aarons allegedly claimed that he was always taking the rap for George. First for petty theft, then assault, now for murder. A psychologist explained to at the time that Aarons had made this dual personality up, like how normal children make up, like how Timmy makes up imaginary friends.
Right.
So his diabolical deeds separate them and, you know, makes them feel more normal. Now, authorities was pretty skeptical of this whole thing, and they suspected he was just laying the groundwork for an insanity defense. But the confession earned widespread publicity, with the press transforming Merman into Murder Man. Now, handwriting analysts did not definitely link his handwriting to the lipstick message.
Well, it's kind of like Primal Fear. Remember the movie Primal Fear?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Well.
And now, police claimed that his fingerprints were found matched a print discovered at the scene of Francis Brown's murder. At first, it was reported as a bloody smudge on the door jamb.
Further, not bloody stool.
A fingerprint of the small left finger allegedly connected Aarons to the ransom note with 9 points of comparison. But the FBI handbook says you need 12 points to even become close to a match. So that is pretty spotty, too.
Yeah, all of the evidence against him was really spotty.
Yeah.
I mean, they had no real physical evidence. The fingerprint was questionable. The confession obviously was induced through beating and drugs. No eyewitnesses. I mean, all of it is just really very loose.
Well, now, the police searched, and they didn't have a warrant, his residence in College Dorm, and found other items that were pretty interesting. He had a scrapbook that contained pictures of Nazi officials that belonged to a war veteran, Harry Gold, that was taken when Aarons burglared his place the night that Susan Dagan was killed. So it kind of puts him in a different place.
Well, their argument
was... But Gold lived in the vicinity.
Their argument is, well, he was breaking into homes in that area. But yeah. You're right. The other argument is he's busy somewhere else.
Yeah.
Breaking and entering.
But there were no biological materials the victims were found on Aarons himself or any of his clothes. And basically DNA is what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. A gun was found in his possession, and it was a Colt police revolver that had been stolen in a burglary of Guy Roderick earlier. And 2 nights later, a bullet crashed through the closed 8th apartment floor window of Marion Caldwell, wounding her. Aarons had that gun in his possession, and according to the Chicago Police Department, the bullet that injured Caldwell was linked through ballistics to the same gun. So what they're saying is, this crazy sumbitch just fired a gun up into the 8th floor window for no reason.
Jeez.
So, it matched the... So they got him on that. They got him on a lot of circumstantial, but not anything weird. And Aarons' lawyer's thinking, you know what, they're going to cook his ass.
Mm-hmm.
So he told him, take a plea bargain. The deal, which is a topic of a closed-door meeting, stated that Aarons would serve one life sentence if he confessed to the murders of Josephine Ross, Francis Brown, Suzanne Degnan. Aarons accepted the plea deal and pled guilty to the murders. Now, he recanted this confession, saying he was coerced by his defense attorneys, and many of the victims' families don't believe that Aarons committed the murders.
Right.
Many examples of the collected evidence held against Aarons as evidence of his responsibility have come into question as to their accuracy and veracity and validity to me.
Yeah.
So that he's the one that got convicted, but now you got another guy here, Richard Russell. And Dick Russell.
Dick
Russell. Dick Russell.
Uh-huh. Dick Wrestler.
Dick Wrestler. So after the Degnan murder, but before Ahrens became a suspect, the Chicago police interrogated this 42-year-old Dick Russell. And he was a drifter passing through to Chicago.
Is he a Gandhi dancer?
He was not a Gandhi dancer. He only had one leg.
Okay.
That
would have been hard to do the can-can.
Yeah, so he...
Well, you can, but you fall on your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. He could have had two legs. I don't know.
Okay, continue.
I assume he had two legs, so yeah. he would have stood out.
So to speak.
So to speak.
He'd have a hard time running away, yeah, for sure.
But anyway, he was passing through, but at the time he was in the Maricopa County Jail, and a drifter passing through the city of Chicago at the time of Degnan's murder and now they brought in some police handwriting experts, Charles B. Arnold. He was the head of the forgery details.
Yeah, sure.
Charles B. Arnold.
Sure.
And he was the head of the forgery detail, the Phoenix police in Thomas's hometown of Phoenix, Arizona. Now, noted similarities.
They really have a forgery detail?
They did. Wow. Oh, hell yeah. Back then, forgery was a big thing.
All right.
Because they didn't have all the computers. Everything was on paper.
All right.
So Arizona noted the similarities of the handwriting between the Degnan ransom note and Richard Russell Thomas's handwriting.
Okay.
When Thomas wrote with his left hand and suggested the Chicago police investigate him. Upon being questioned, Thomas confessed to the crime but was released from custody after Ahrens became the prime suspect. Others contend that Thomas was a strong suspect because he previously had been convicted of an attempted extortion with a ransom note that threatened the kidnapping of a little girl.
Okay.
As previously noted, the handwriting experts said that he could probably, very, very likely, wrote the ransom note for the... he was in Chicago at the time. At the time he confessed to the Degnan crime, he was awaiting sentencing for molesting his daughter. He had a history of violence, including spousal and clearly daughter abuse.
Mm-hmm.
He was a nurse who was known to masquerade as a surgeon, which, Timmy, you do that occasionally. Yeah, I know you go down to the hospital and perform mammograms and do stuff like that.
Sometimes. Yeah. I've been known to be an amateur gynecologist.
Exactly.
I don't want to lose my amateur status by going pro.
No, but you do it as a volunteer. I mean...
Well, I do what I can.
We've both done the mammograms for free to help society, really. I mean, because that's the kind of people we are, givers.
We are.
Yeah. And Devil...
What?
When's the last time you gave somebody a prostate exam?
Yeah. When was the last time?
I don't know that you need to worry about it.
All right.
Yeah, so you're not out doing any good for the community like me and Timmy are.
Well, I think she's pretty much admitting that she's done prostate exams, but she's probably done them for evil reasons.
Evil reasons, yeah.
Sexual reasons.
Deviant. I believe she is a deviant. Tell me
what you said. Prostate massage.
What is wrong with you guys?
What is wrong with us?
Aromatherapy.
What is wrong with you guys?
Just lay here and relax. She puts on some, who's that guy, Kenny G?
Yeah.
Puts on some nice music. And then all of a sudden she elbow deep in somebody's prostate. Bang, 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 bang.
That's what your doctor does. Smell that aroma.
All right, Colonel, please get this, wrap this thing up. Devil?
So anyway... We just learned something new about the devil that
Well, that's true. We'll return to that.
I don't think he did, but that's all right.
Well, anyway, here's another point. He was a nurse known to masquerade as a surgeon. He boasted to his friends that he was a doctor, and he was known to steal surgical supplies.
Now, if he was a surgeon masquerading as a nurse, that wouldn't have been as bad.
No. And although... Yeah, he could. I guess if he was a surgeon. Yeah, I'm not really sure. That one baffles me.
Yeah. So if you're a surgeon and you impersonate a nurse, is that illegal?
Because that would be kind of like being a detective impersonating a security guard.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be above that, but you wouldn't have that particular license.
That is true.
And I don't think you would know how to be a nurse.
Probably not.
You know? So I don't... I guess you could get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. We're looking into that. And yeah. Can we ask... who's our nurse? Is it Celine?
No, Brittany.
Brittany. Okay, yeah. Brittany, let us know if we can...
Brittany is a nurse.
If there's laws against that.
Yeah.
There are.
Okay, continue.
Well, there shouldn't be. So anyway, where was it, Timmy?
We impersonate podcasters.
So anyway...
Definitely should be a law against that.
They knew that the Degnan killer probably had surgical skills or was a butcher.
Mm-hmm.
Now... Like Aarons, he was a known burglar. Mm-hmm. He confessed freely to the Degnan murder, although he would recant that too. Now, Chicago detectives dismissed his claims after Aarons became a suspect because it made it kind of iffy to have two guys confessing to the same murder.
Well, they could have been two different people.
Well, their MOs are so different that there probably were two different murders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Thomas died in 1974 in an Arizona prison. His prison record and most of the evidence of his interrogation regarding these murders have been lost or destroyed. Now, as for Aarons went to the state prison in Joliet.
Where the Blues Brothers are from.
Yep. He learned several trades, including electronics, television and radio repair. And at one point, he had his own repair shop in the prison.
Good for him.
He was pretty much...
Wasn't he the first person to get a college degree in state of Illinois prison?
He was. He before college education was made available to prison inmates, he earned a Bachelor of Arts after earning 250 course credit hours by funding the cost of the correspondence courses with 20 different universities from his savings. Now, passing courses is varied as he passed courses as varied as languages, analytical geometry, data processing, and tailoring. Now, you know a little bit about tailoring, don't you, Devil? Don't you do some sewing on the side?
Yeah.
I mean, who makes those costumes you wear every day?
Yeah, I have to order them.
Oh, okay. You want them from, what, Devils or Us or?
Hustler.
Hustler, yes, you get it from the Hustler store.
Wow.
For those, this is radio, so you can't see, but right now, what the Devil's sitting here in some tight black leggings and a black corset. She got some purple lipstick on.
So goth.
Yeah, she is kind of goth and dominatrix looking at the same
all
time.
All of that, totally true.
Anyway, so he even took celestial navigation.
Well, so, when does that come in handy in a prison?
Well, if you're going to escape and you have...
Well, if you're going to escape, but I mean, how can you do your homework? You can't see the stars. You
can't even see out the window.
Right. But anyway, he was
a pretty smart guy.
He was a pretty smart
guy. He managed the garment factory at Stateville for 5 years, and he oversaw 350 inmates. And after transfer to Vienna, he set up their entire education program. So really, this guy made some good out of his life.
Yeah, he did.
He aided other prisoners' educational progress by helping them earn their general educational diploma, GED, became a jailhouse lawyer, and was... probably frequently sodomized.
We don't know.
Because he was a handsome man and a small man, and I would say he was...
No, we don't know that at all.
I would say if you're in Joliet prison and you a small, handsome man, you're probably being sodomized.
He probably helped him with her homework, so he probably got a pass.
I don't know that you get a pass. But anyway, we'll have to agree to disagree on that.
All right, Colonel, we'll do that.
Anyway, after being taken from his cell, well, you sure because we got more doo-doo charts we can do.
Please continue.
After being taken from his cell at Dixon Correctional Center on February 26, 2012, due to health problems, he died at the University of Illinois Medical Center on March 5th, 2012, at the age of 83.
So he had been in prison...
He'd been in prison about 65 years or so.
Yeah, a long time. Well, no, not 65 years. He was about 20 when he went in, so about
63 years?
63 years, yeah.
Yeah, not 65. Not
65,
stupid.
Yeah. I'm just going off the top of my head here.
Not 65,
yeah.
Okay, Brandy, what's your thoughts on the lipstick murderers, and do you think that Mr. Aarons was the guilty party?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think
so. Do you think any of those suspects were?
Well, I don't know, but I don't think he was.
Yeah, I don't think he was. Do you think the crime, all the murders were related?
No. I don't think that last girl, little girl, had anything to do with anything.
I think that last suspect, the transient guy, he may have been the one who killed the little girl. I'm not even sure he was responsible for all of them, though.
I don't think they had any more. I don't think that.
I think Aaron's killed the two and transient killed the girl.
But why? I mean, there's nothing in the history to say that he was violent.
Oh, yeah, there was. Shitty fired, according to the police. Now, they could have
lied. When he was cornered. But, I mean...
But he fired a gun twice at the police and misfired. And then he fired a shot up at a woman in the 8th floor window or something.
Should have tased him.
One of those victims was shot.
The second one was shot in the head.
Yeah. So he was...
So you think he is guilty?
I think he probably did the first two. I think he probably did the first two and the transient did the third one. And he, I don't know that you.
The evidence was pretty weak, though, against
him. It was pretty weak, but it was better than best they could come up with.
Should have tased him in the face.
Okay, Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on the iTunes.
On the iTunes. Please leave us an iTunes review. That's how other people find us, and we always get a kick out of those reviews. So please leave us an iTunes review.
Facebook.
Yes, please join our Facebook page. Yeah, we have the History Dweebs Facebook page, and we have the History Dweebs, the podcast page, where you can actually post anything you want to post. So you can discuss the podcast, or you can post.
You can post pictures of yourself eating donuts because Timmy got some kind of freaky ass fetish about
right.
that.
Whatever you want to post, but join us on History Dweebs
Twitter.
Twitter is at HistoryDreams1. We're trying to build up our Twitter following, so please join us there. HistoryDreams1.
Stitcher,
and we're in like all the podcast drivers. I find new ones every day that we're on that I didn't know we were on. I guess they get our feed from iTunes.
Cool.
Colonel, any final thoughts?
No, I just wish that... we will be tweeting soon.
Not YouTubing.
Not YouTubing. We're going to have to do a YouTube here soon. I'm going to set up the channel.
Mm-hmm.
Are you? I'm going to be posting a picture on the
History Dweebs. Posting a picture of you eating Leclerc?
No, I'm going to be posting a picture of myself fully erect to get rid of, dispel these
gross.
Impotent... things once and for all.
Please don't do that.
Well, nope. You threw down the gauntlet, Timmy. I mean, you sullied my character. You sullied my reputation. Now the Colonel got to make things right.
There's nothing wrong with being impotent, Colonel.
So look for in the next week a picture of the little general.
It's just a blood
standing
flow.
At full attention.
It's just a blood flow problem, I'm sure.
It is not. There is no blood flow problem. The circulation's fine down there. So look in the next week. Timmy has thrown down the challenge, and Timmy is responsible for this picture going up. And I might even post a picture of my very healthy-looking stool.
Gross.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Brandy.
I did. You just saw me
you
do it.
You stuck-up bitch. Say hello. Say goodbye to the people.
Properly.
I
say
goodbye.
Right. Say it right. Don't make me raise my hand.
Do you want a lady maid or not?
I do want a lady maid.
I want a man maid.
Ladies maid.
I want a man. Right. I want a man made in China.
You got a Chinaman. All right. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.